Thimble Island Brewing Company, one of Connecticut's most well-known breweries, announced it is closing its doors later this month after it initially opened up in 2012 and saw a lot of popularity over more than a decade. The Branford Brewery will shut down on May 24th. And for such a booming industry in the last decade, I want to know if such a beloved place doing local brewing right, closing its doors for good, is that a sign of the times? Or are we seeing a shift in the industry interest? Joining us now is Scott Dulch, president and CEO of the Connecticut Restaurant Association. Hey, Scott, welcome back. What do you think?
Hey, Melissa, good morning. I think it's something that your listeners need to understand, that, you know, they're independent businesses, and these breweries are, you know, struggling with high costs, with challenges to get customers in, just like our restaurants are, and they're having to try to diversify their breweries to be competitive. And to also, you know, we definitely had a very big boom about 8 to 10 years ago of so many breweries that started up in Connecticut, but now it's very competitive. And I think that's the challenge you're seeing, is, you know, the same way a small independent restaurant is going through, these breweries are doing the same thing. And if they haven't added, you know, food, you're seeing some of the ones that having to add food, become a restaurant, you know, adding patios, doing events, maybe doing catering. I've seen some space try to host weddings and things like that. Like, you really have to, and then also what your distribution side of this, as we talked to a lot of them as well, are they locally distributing? Are they going out there regionally and nationally? Like, how, what is their kind of business plan? Because it's a challenging market. It's not just a Connecticut issue. It's, you know, the breweries, as I talked to the Brewers Guild, and I talked to a lot of them that are members, like it's very, very challenging right now in this marketplace. And we could talk about, you know, all the other options that are there, you know, for people to come out and maybe not just get beer anymore, but what are their options that you're offering?
So I would like to talk about that, Scott. A couple of things that stood out in what you just said, though, that I want to get an understanding. So it's not one thing, it sounds like. So it's not just, hey, we're still recovering from everything shutting down during the pandemic. It's not just a saturated marketplace, essentially. So it felt like well before the pandemic, Scott, everyone jumped on the brewery fan wagon. It felt like a lot of people either wanted to do it just independently, I mean, in the basements of their homes, but some took it to storefronts or made actual, you know, factory type places, you know, made facilities out of it. It sounds like it's a combination of different factors why a place so popular like this is not seeing at least enough financial success to stay open.
You're exactly right. I think that's the challenge, you know, even, you know, for these breweries, for restaurants, everything else. I mean, looking at even the trends of people going out and drinking alcohol versus mocktails versus maybe not having alcohol at all. Like, it's definitely a different world that we're in than we were even 5-7 years ago. And I think, you know, the understanding that, yes, these breweries offer such a great experience and great side, but like, people are making, you know, diversifying their own choices and what they do. And obviously, if the same way at the restaurant or the brewery, if you used to go out, you know, every Friday or one day a week and you supported it, but now you make it, hey, maybe I'll go out every month or I'll go out every couple of weeks. Well, you multiply that by their customer base. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't make them profitable. And I think that's why, you know, really trying to talk to them and help them from my side and say, okay, what else are you offering? How are you bringing in other clientele? What are you offering besides just maybe beer? You know, what other things can you do, and how to be able to do that within the state of Connecticut as well? That's why you're seeing, you know, like Stony Creek Brewing, what they did with their food trucks, and then now they're having a full kitchen down there. You have some of these breweries that have, you know, Kurt at Hooker. Like, there's a lot of really great breweries that have diversified themselves, Counterweight, others like that offer more of an experience than just, hey, we have our beer. We have to give more of an experience to be able to be profitable at these times.
And it's interesting, too. We have Scott Dulch of the Connecticut Restaurant Association here. You bring up Stony Creek. Interestingly enough, I was thinking about how, you know, they're a good example of they had to sort of go even outside the boundaries of just focusing solely on brewing. They teamed up with a huge, I think, another Connecticut company, and they kind of cross-promoted with each other, Bigelow Tea. I mean, mm-hmm. that was a huge thing that happened a couple of years ago. I was at their launch party for that. So it sounds like, Scott, breweries have to get creative. It's not enough to rest on, hey, local brews. Because I do remember, you know, 2012, if you talk about Thimble mm-hmm. Island, when they opened up, that was the year I graduated college, and I was living in Vermont. I could tell you, it was the big thing that people were making craft brew from everywhere. And that was, it felt like, the times we were living in, but it doesn't seem to interest people enough now to just offer a, you know, one of its kind craft brew.
Well, it is, and I think that's the challenge, as we talk all the time in the hospitality industry. You have to be following trends, and you know, you can't always be doing the same thing. You can't, you know, need to understand what your customer base or your new customer base is looking for. And obviously we do have some incredible breweries in our state, you know, as I talk to them and the beer that they create, but also, you know, diversifying themselves. You had the ciders, you had the sours, like what else is out there? To your point about Bigelow Tea with Stony Creek, like, you know, as I talk to Rachel Diamond, who's the head of the Brewers Guild, and what she's doing at Broken Symmetry, and her diversifying, having a full kitchen and making sure people know, like, the, you know, her food quality is as good as, you know, as her beer. And that's the side that we talk to these brewers all the time is like, hey, if that's not in your wheelhouse, you know, talk to us as an association. Let me try to help you there, because at the end of the day, you know, you can't, we aren't in 2012. This is a new space. The same way when we talk to regular restaurants and they're like, I don't understand. You know, I was a bar for 30 years and now I'm not being profitable. And I'm like, but what's your food quality look like? What are you getting families out? Like, what else are you doing? Because otherwise you can't just stay in one lane. If you're not looking at trends and diversifying what you're offering, unfortunately, like it's not going to pan out, because it's just the nature of the hospitality business, whether it was COVID or not. I think that, you know, as I've talked to Eli Cannon, is another one that wasn't really a brewery, but one of the first down there in Middletown that had, as I talked to Suzanne, who's on my board, about the ups and downs and trends of craft beer. And she's like, listen, there's always these trends, but you have to be willing to diversify yourself at what you're offering. Because it changes, and what the marketplace wants might be different, you know, today than it was 6 months ago, 6 years ago, and the same thing 6 years from now, it'll be different.
You know what I find also fascinating, Scott, and this is just from a reporter standpoint, when I go to events that are done by the Office of Tourism, by the state, or business, you know, expos, things like that, Athletic Brewing here in Milford mm-hmm. gets highlighted a lot. And another one is Two Roads. And what's funny is, first of all, Athletic Brewing is actually a non-alcoholic brew, which I think is so fascinating. You know, you talk about how that's become more prevalent in today's world. But those two get highlighted a lot by the state. And I wonder if it's because they've gone national. Like, is that also a real deal breaker, the fact that they're not just Connecticut's own, that they've made it? I mean, those two are known across the country.
Yeah, listen, I think first of all, the Athletic Brewing story is amazing, if people don't know it, and the NA side, and, you know, looking at it when they launched it, and people were like, you crazy, NA beer, but like now, and their beer is delicious, and it's non-alcoholic, and so many people, you know, like have taken to that. They're out there now in San Diego, but obviously they're a Connecticut-based company. So you look at that, I think the Two Roads side, yes, expanding nationally, but don't forget, we have some local breweries that are, they're, you know, maybe not like national bound and profitable, but they're local, but they're doing incredible things with their beer. Like New Park Brewing in West Hartford, knowing them from when they used to be like in a cooler in a tent, and like you said, like in someone's garage, and what they're still making and how they're still diversifying, you know, what kind of beers that they're making. Fox Farm down in Plymouth is another one that is doing incredible things and still, you know, really putting up pound for pound their beer to really breweries around the world. But it's just their model. I think that they're trying to figure out, you know, looking at Beard and what Aaron has done down in Mystic. But at the same time, it's a difficult time for our industry, you know, across the board right now, because of what we're facing with rising costs, you know, and everything else, and how to be profitable and grow your business or stay afloat. But understand, as I talk to the Office of Tourism, you know, we need to be supporting. You know, it's going back to our older conversation, like if we're not putting money in as a state to promote not just restaurants, you know, not just hotels, but our local breweries and what Thimble Island was and everything else. And it's so sad to see them shutter their doors. But I don't want to see that for the ones that are still out there trying to make it and making sure that we are supporting local. And we continue to say to people, like, hey, if you're going, you know, into the package store later today, or you're going to go out, you know, check out some of these breweries if you have it, see what kind of things they have on their menu, how they diversify. A lot of people are like, oh, I've never heard of Fox Farm. Like, understand, like, they're an incredible brewery. The same way, you know, New Park has done such good things in West Hartford. But and then even the Athletic Brewing will be up at our event, I believe, at Night of the Capitol in a couple of weeks, where, you know, we showcase them, because what they're doing around the country, even around the world as they're trying to expand, is incredible. But they've diversified. They're you know, a different side right now that is a trend that people love. And I think that it will continue, hopefully, but they have to also think about their long-term plan as well, like any business owner.
Scott Dulch of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, appreciate your insight on this, and I'm sure we're going to be talking again really soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Talk soon.